Hello, everybody, and welcome to a niche podcast about the one thing I know something about: game shows. I suppose I'm your host, Jordan Haas. I'm trying to have a nice, relaxing, chill day because I want to talk about one of my favorite game shows as a kid. But no, I'm kind of pissed off. You know why? Because it seems everywhere now. It's all nostalgia Nickelodeon things. A podcast arrived like 3 episodes on Nickelodeon Studios. There was that Orange Years documentary that just came out. And then people keep saying, hey, you know what? You should check out this Knickknacks, this YouTube channel. And I saw, and what the hell is it? Like, what the crap is this shit? Look, I get why people want me to listen and watch this guy's show, because it's kind of like what I do, where each episode is about a different show and let me explain like the backstory and bullshit around. But look, I can't really stress enough, like, a lot of those sources are incorrect or just hunches. So you know what? Fuck it. I don't care anymore. This episode is going to be full of facts and lies at the same time, because apparently if Knickknacks can get away with it, so can I. Because we all live in like rose-colored glasses and nostalgia is good. And you know what? If there's something weird that happened, whatever. And you know, it's a story of the backstage. So you know what? The origin story of Wild and Crazy Kids, I don't even fucking know. I'm not even going to research it. All I know was that Dave... When Double Dare was, like, getting popular, there's Dave and Robin. And Robin went on to try and be the host of Guts and got shit-canned and didn't even get the job, and that kind of fucking sucks. And Dave went on to become a producer for Wild and Crazy Kids, which also had Mark Summers' name on it that no one seems to recall. Anyway, that's all I know. That's the origin story of Wild and Crazy Kids. Good night, everybody. Wild and Crazy Kids also, like most game shows, don't really have a format. So this is a game show that has no prizes. There is no prizes for the winner. It really is just, here's a weird field day obstacle course game, and someone wins, and it's just like a super silly version of a game. That's typically all it is. It's a messy, silly game. There is no set schedule. There's no contestant. I mean, there's contestants, but there's no like, hey, what do you like to do? I like to play my coloring book. None of that. It really is just, here's the blue team and the yellow team, and they're going to be playing volleyball with an oversized beach ball. That's it. That's the game. We're going to play oversized beach ball volleyball. That's the game. That's what Wild and Crazy Kids is. If not, it's, hey, we're going to have a water balloon bingo game. We're going to have tic-tac-toe, but with shaving cream balloons. We're going to have a challenge to see who can go longest on a slip and slide. Like, that's usually Wild and Crazy Kids. The challenges changed every episode, sometimes corresponding with a theme. Like, for instance, a beach, a park, a theme park, a mini golf course, a carnival, the military for some jingoistic reason, and many, many more. So the best way to describe the show, and I guess I'll just bullshit an origin story here. Nickelodeon. This was the 90s, early 90s. We recently did an episode about What Would You Do? And I said back in the day, there was a division between Wild and Crazy Kids and What Would You Do? By What Is the Peak 90s Show. In many ways, I would say Wild and Crazy Kids would. In many ways, I'd say What Would You Do? I would say of all the shows, Wild and Crazy Kids is the one that's closest to me. Literally, they filmed many episodes of Wild and Crazy Kids at the park I grew up with here in Los Angeles. I remember they were doing casting notices for Wild and Crazy Kids at my elementary school. And one of my friends who was like a grade school over me, his name was Ross. I have yet to chat with him because obviously it's been like 30 plus years at this point. But he was a contestant on Wild and Crazy Kids and had a lot of fun. And he was like the cool kid at school for the day. And I like that. Because remember, this was at a time when Nickelodeon filmed everything in Orlando, Florida. Except for this show, which was filmed primarily in Los Angeles and in Los Angeles surrounding areas, such as San Diego or golf and stuff. So it's just been, it's one of those shows where it's the only thing Nickelodeon related I could relate to as a kid, because a lot of this stuff was places I vaguely remember in the surrounding areas, and yeah, I had no idea that Nickelodeon was out, the animation was out here too. Classy Supo and all that. So, here's the bullshit origin story I'm going to come up with. Are you ready? Because you know what? Apparently, you guys listened to that shitty YouTuber, and he bullshits around. I guess I can bullshit around too. Alright, so, as we all know, Nickelodeon was a far out there network. They had diversity as an important part, and they also had the message to get out and be active. If you've noticed, a lot of shows back in the day, such as The Big Help and Don't Just Sit There, were all about people going out of their home and doing stuff. And that was kind of a big message that Nickelodeon was trying to do. It was just, you're not just watching Nickelodeon, you're committing to something. You're helping your community out. You're hanging out with your friends, you're being more active. You're trying to have fun. Just have more fun. Do things that you enjoy, let's showcase them. Rather that's BMX bikes, rather that's video games. And they wanted a show to illustrate that. That's what I'm thinking happened. So, I mean, people watch Double Dare and they like the physical challenges. I mean, they're really fun and over the top, but they're limited because of a studio space and the amount of contestants and miking and gameplay format. So if we can just break down the walls of a Double Dare game and just do a physical challenge where the rules don't matter, you can have as many contestants as you want. You can have 12, you can have 30, you can have 50. It doesn't matter. You can, all you need is different shirts, which is the biggest, I think, price is just going to like a local print store, buying a green shirt with the little exclamation point marker, and just slapping it to a kid, and the prop department to build whipped cream balloons, which obviously they could either do themselves with PAs, set designers, or just have like their parents do, like, hey, you want to help us out? We're doing a water balloon game. You can play along with us and we'll just be filming it for Nickelodeon. So my guess is because of Nickelodeon's commitment to being more active and doing more things outside, like going outside, basically a precursor to their International Day of Play that they've been advocating for at this point, 7 years at this, 8 years, almost a decade. This was kind of their infomercial for that. Hey, come up with your own games. Let's showcase your own games. Do your own games. Let's see your, if you have a game, send it to us. Even though that was kind of the purpose of the zoo games on Disney Channel, but that's beside the point. We're talking Nickelodeon, we're not talking Disney. So, the plot of the show, if I'm guessing, because I remember everything's a bit, this whole episode, I'm bullshitting. I'm basically bullshitting for as long as I can. This is like, take with a grain of salt, the game show episode. This is the one where I'm, I've seen the show. I know what it's about. But I'm just going to remind you, I'm lying right now to you, the audience, and I apologize. But to remind you, people apparently don't care anymore about facts. They just would rather just go, hey, remember the 90s? They had all the shows. DuckTales, that came out in the 80s. And you know, Transformers came out in the 80s. You know, iCarly, that was 2000s. So, it's just a game show where the whole premise is exactly what they say in the intro. To go anywhere and see anything to find kids having fun. That was the intro, and basically scouring parks and getting tarps and just, hey, we're going to have a little fun water balloon toss game. And just film it. That's basically what One Crazy Kids was. For the importance of promoting going outside, basically. Nickelodeon and early day being the front runner for, please just do something. Please do not just watch Nickelodeon. I mean, we have reruns of Mystery Files of Shelby Woo, but please, please just, I mean, you can watch Alex Mack, but please go some. I get it. You want to watch Space Cases, but please. Here's a Wild and Crazy Kids episode. And the idea is, they usually start the show off with like a cold open, and it's just the three. Now, there's Donnie Jeffcoat, there's Omar Gooding, and then there is two, depending on the season. There was Annette Chavez, and then Jessica Gaines. So depending on who you, what you care about, doesn't matter which season. Funny enough, I always thought Annette was the newest one. It was the opposite. Because it was such an early show. And they kind of tried to, I hate to say the word stereotype, but they definitely tried to box in the hosts a bit. So, like, Omar is supposed to be the goofy one. Like, he's just there to tell jokes and make people laugh. We're going to, oh, you're going to listen. Donnie is supposed to be like the high school quarterback, the jock who's just like everyone's best friend. Like, oh, I just want to have fun. We're playing games with our friends. That's all that matters, you know? And Jessica was like just like the smart one. They just made Jessica to be, I know I'm the smart one and I know how things work. And this is how it is, and this is smart. And that was their little boxes in this game that was just unscripted chaos. Like, that's it. So what they would do is that it was broken into three games. Typically, a game show had three episodes. Three-act structure, you know how it works. Sometimes it was two parts. Other times it was just single. And always something involved the theme of the area in a game. Now, ideally, I always thought, and this is, anyway, this is the bullshit episode, so it doesn't matter. To me, I'm going to bullshit this, and it doesn't matter. Because there were three games, and there were three hosts. Each host had a certain game that they were going to talk about today. So one would be Omar's game, one would be Donnie's game, the other would be Jessica's game, and they would just go like, hey, you know, you ever heard the saying, don't talk with food in your mouth? Well, this is going to be a little different because this is Wild and Crazy Kids. We're going to have our kids shove as many giant marshmallows in their mouth and try and say famous phrases to their friends. And if they're right, they stay in the game. But if they're wrong, them and their partner get pied in the face. And whoever's the last one standing will win the game. And that would be a Wild and Crazy Kids game. It just becomes something like that. So then they record like the entire game. This is bullshit. They're just filming the entire game. They probably had maybe two, three cameras. It's a cheap production. Really cheap production, even back then. If you pay close attention, same park from Power Rangers. So what they decided to do is they filmed the games be played. I go, oh man, I remember that ice cream truck. That's the one that had the Mario ice cream with the gumdrop balls. That's great. My favorite was the cherry bubble double thing with the little bubble gums on the bottom. It was cherry. Oh, that's delicious. So they would record the game, and then, of course, they get all the footage, and then they're trying to come up with a best of, and kind of like a America's Funniest Home Videos, or just like a best of compilation, they would get one of the hosts to show up and do voiceover work over the game footage. So you would hear Donnie go, that guy just threw the water balloon in the yellow area. That's 40 points. And just keep going from there. That's the teacher from the middle school, and now she's gonna get pied in the face. Like, just that kind of ideal discussion. It wasn't like all of them together. They weren't doing wipeout jokes. It really was just kind of just Say what you just see on screen. Oh no, that's a bucket of beans being poured on that kid on the blue team. Okay. Sure. what I kind of liked about it was the way they handled it was they had a lot, like, they knew the branding and theming was 90. Like, there was a lot of the action script. There was exclamation points. Basically, everything was onomatopoeia. Everything was like an onomatopoeia, almost like straight out of a comic book, like a kablam. And when it action replay, they had the border, and then they had like a repeat of like a kid getting hit in the face with a pie. And it's like, oh, that kid, the kid on the black team got pied in the face by someone on the yellow team. That's wild and crazy kids. Non-descriptive as possible. But it was kind of, they had a lot of interesting games. Now, what I enjoyed about Wild and Crazy Kids, even though I'm just, you know, joking about it, is that a lot of the challenges, even though they were cheap, they were kind of interesting and very intelligent in terms of getting kids to play these games, because some of the games they were able to play at home and replicate with their friends, and then others it was very financially breaking to probably a parent to try and buy so much nacho cheese to do a rally game where you're trying to throw buckets. So typically it was water and shaving cream, like old school Double Dare games. And everything is played on a field, so it's safe. It's not at home. And some of the games I thought were really creative. Like one, they had RC trucks. They had like an RC truck course game, and they got to go around like a sand track. But at like different points, there were like little firework explosives. And the contestant can like plunge down one of the plungers and explode the detonator and like explode the RC car to get them out of the game. And I thought that's so cool, but also very dangerous. But I thought that was like a really interesting kids game. And one of the rare chances, and the reason I bring that up, because it was featured in the theme song all the time. And second, because it was one of the rare games I recall them saying, and kids, don't try this at home. And I'm like, oh, crap. This defeats the whole purpose of Wild and Crazy Kids, but it makes for good television. It only lasted, like, what, 3 seasons? Like, it started in 90, ended in 92. And it was such a... It was such an interesting game show, now that I think about it. but what I kind of liked about it was it was able to really be a game that anyone can play and enjoy. And I thought, oh, that makes sense. And kind of ended too early. I think, like, in an ideal Nickelodeon 90s thing, Wild and Crazy Kids would have lasted the entire decade. Because it just seems like we can just create random challenges that we know won't work on Double Dare or Legends or Figure It Out or whatever. And this is just kind of like a test market game. Like, we're just going to keep showing up different challenges. So we're going to be playing Battleship, but with a crane, and we're going to dump balloons. And just do something with that. Like, that's what Wild and Crazy Kids was to me, at least in my mind, was it was kind of the game. It was the cheapest game show ever developed because there is a game, but there's no prizes. Everyone was just volunteers. There was no appearance fee from what I recall, except for maybe when they got a celebrity to cameo on the show. So it's like, oh, wow, I can't believe it. We got Mark Summers from Double Dare. Wow, I can't believe it. We got the cast of Salute Your Shorts. Oh, boy. We got Rodney Pete of the Detroit Lions. Just and they would try and get things. I remember they had Jonathan Taylor Thomas on an episode. and they had Arnold Schwarzenegger because, as many people know, Schwarzenegger is an advocate for get out and do stuff, and that was a show that was all about getting out and doing stuff. And then I guess the show got canceled because no one watches the show where you do stuff because you want to sit down and watch things instead. I don't know. But it was fascinating time capsule of the 90s. A very cheap show, but one that's very entertaining and one that I think should have stood the test of time, especially of the 90s. But it ended. I guess people weren't in the mood for pie tosses and slime canal games and other kind of bullshit. But now it's time for me to throw the fun fast fact your way. One Crazy Kids was the first Nickelodeon game show to be rebooted. At least I think so, except for Double Dare. Unless you count Double Dare 2000 as the first reboot. Wild and Crazy Kids was the first reboot. In the version of Wild and Crazy Kids that they had, the new version was produced by Dave Azer, who at the time was doing Slime Time Live. And Maddie Moralejo was the main host. And they were basically marketing Maddie as the new face of Nickelodeon circa early 2000s. So you had Dave Azer. You had Candace at You Pick Alive. You had Jeff Suffin in Brain Surge. And you had Maddie Moralejo for Wild and Crazy Kids. This was the new rebooted Wild and Crazy Kids, but this time around, instead of three, it was just Maddie. But the difference is, because Mark Summers was now an executive producer, it became more, how do we make this into a show? And what they decided to do was every episode needs to have a special guest and a theme. And the branding is not just Wild and Crazy Kids. They realized if you change the acronym, it's WACK or WACK. So, you know that expression, that's WACK, from the 90s and circa 2000s rap videos. Well, now it's whack at the park, whack at the beach, whack at the water park, whack at the old people's home. And Maddie Moralejo would be the host. They'd be like, hey guys, it's me, Maddie. Hey, we're playing hockey my style with ping pong balls, but not ping pong balls, but we're doing it with eggs. Whoa, guys, can't believe it. And they were trying Resurge Wild and Crazy Kids because, if you recall correctly, they were trying to be a rebooted advocate for Get Out and Be More Active in the early 2000s. You had Games and Sports before it became that Nickelodeon game show block in that TV channel that only I watched and maybe four others. It was a little block that was like Splat, that was just like, here's Robot Wars, and also here's the Get Out and Do Stuff block. Here's like skateboarding, and here's a game farm. And here's Maddie Moralejo, guys. And guys, we're going to be playing, guys, a ping pong ball game, guys. But we're going to be playing ping pong with eggs, guys. And it's going to be wacky, guys. You're going to enjoy it, guys. Guys, we're going to have fun, guys. Because this is guys. We're going to guys. Guys. Maddie. That was the one that had the cast of Spy Kids. I remember they did an episode with the cast of Spy Kids. At this point, I was in, like, middle school, about to go into high school, and I'm like, I'm gonna go watch Jackass instead. That seems like a better use of my time. No, like, watching Wild and Crazy Kids, the rebooted version, they changed the theme song. So now instead of, we're wild and crazy, we're wild and crazy. Wild and crazy kids. Woo! It was more like a classic Nickelodeon, almost like an acapella. It was just like na 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 na. Wild and crazy kids, wild and crazy, 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 crazy. La 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 la. Wild and crazy kids, wild and crazy, 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 crazy kids. Yeah. So it didn't last that long. It only lasted like one season, maybe two. But it was a totally different version of it. This was the Viacom circa 2000. So this was the Nickelodeon was pushing Nick.com. Mark Summers really wanted to be off camera. And a lot of the locations that they used, I saw on many other Viacom promotions, including but not limited to Ultimate Revenge. Oh yeah, I remember Ultimate Revenge. That was Ryan Seacrest doing a prank show. Hey guys, remember when Ryan Seacrest did a prank show? Ryan Seacrest did a prank show. Hey guys, you know Ryan Seacrest, New Year's Rockin' Eve? Remember that guy? He did a prank show once. It was on Spike TV. It was called Ultimate Revenge. I'm going to keep reminding people of that show because I think that is one of the worst... That was one of the worst prank shows I remember because it's just like, Ultimate Revenge. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay, so Wild and Crazy Kids, this rebooted version, played somewhat similar to the original one. No one's winning prizes, and there were three games, and everything was out of theme, so nothing really changed that much, except for now they kind of had somewhat of a budget, and by a budget, I mean the exclamation point flat that they had on the set, was now kind of like an actually upbeated version of an exclamation point, instead of just like a wood panel of an exclamation point. Now it's like a, one that lights up. In case they do a night shoot. Whoa. Night shoots of Wild and Crazy Kids? Is that even possible? Isn't it past their school night? Oh, well. The show was Wild and Crazy Kids if it was silly games. But I don't think they really... I don't know why it lasted only one season other than people did not like Maddie. Or people didn't like the games, or just scheduling situations. Because if this was early 2000s, I would assume this is when they were doing the big overhaul. Nickelodeon was getting rid of a lot of shows. Out with SpongeBob, in with SpongeBob, out with Rugrats. Except for All Grown Up. And a lot of kids who grew up in the 90s, when Wild and Crazy Kids started... They were teenagers or college kids now. They didn't care about this, so they're done anyway. So, one of the first times a reboot didn't work, and yet, still to this day, there's more and more reboots with every passing week. So, best of luck to Legends of the Hidden Temple. That's all I can say. We are so screwed. Oh, I mean, Maddie was a personal guy. I liked Maddie. I think the issue was I could see Maddie doing Guts, not necessarily Wild and Crazy Kids. I think the way they were handling games, it was silly, but And I think they were at the time when they were looking for, when they're looking for the male host, they were looking for the funny older brother kind of character. Because that was Jeff. Jeff was like the older brother kind of guy. Same with Dave Azer on Slime Time later. I don't have Google. This is a bullshit episode. What was that name of that Slime Time Live news show? Splat? Was that the name? Splat or Big Splooshy? The Big Shaboozy? That show. Whatever that was. And then you had, Double Dare 2000. You know, that was Jason Harris and his sweater collection. So It was all like the older brother. That was all it kind of was. The older brother who's back and he's going to say hi to you. I kind of like that. That was like a nice novel version of Nickelodeon. But I think as taste left, it's just sort of just But rewatching Wild and Crazy Kids episodes, which is weird because it's not on Paramount Plus. And I thought that's like such a no-brainer show. Like, what would you do to put on Paramount Plus? But it's not. I thought this is a show that could actually work. If you think about Nickelodeon modern day, this could easily reboot Wild and Crazy Kids as a YouTube content thing, because each of these games is only 6-7 minutes long, and that's enough for like an easy YouTube video. You can even extend it out even. Or you can even like make a rebooted version and make it an hour long with 5 or 6 games. What a weird coincidence. You can extend the amount of games in a Wild and Crazy Kids episode. And what I've realized is that Nickelodeon, because they're now in that international day of play and they really love activity-based shows, why not reboot Wild and Crazy Kids? It seems like a no-brainer kind of show. Other than, hey, there's no prizes to give away. It's just kind of there for fun. So I was kind of like, when I was about to do this episode, before all I saw all of these crappy documentaries and YouTube videos, I was kind of thinking like the same way I normally think of game shows, I suppose. What's the takeaway of the show? What's the message the show's coming up with? What's the theme? What's this? And it's just excitement. Everything's excitement. Exclamation points. You're supposed to be saying wow when you're watching it. It's a very wow show. But now you're saying whack because it's Wild and Crazy Kids. So all of these kind of fit the ticks of modern Nickelodeon. It is get kids to go out and do something outside with friends. It's silly. It's goofy. And it's at different locations. It's very cheap, and it can fit as a YouTube viral thing, or it could work as its own standalone show on Nickelodeon again. When you consider some of the stuff that they already have on Nickelodeon that is sports-based, like they had Crash Leads, they had All In with Cam Newton, they have Dude Perfect, why can they not reboot Wild and Crazy Kids? It really is just, you can make like a Dude Perfect video into a Wild and Crazy Kids game where it's people doing backwards half-court shots. Like, that could be a show. You could have challenges where if the cast of Dude Perfect doing whipped cream relays. And just, it makes sense. If you think about it, you could even get your viral stars to do the hosting. Liza Koshy could have easily gone from Double Dare to Wild and Crazy Kids because she had the same delivery and she could easily do that same A game, probably even with less effort. Now, I don't mean that she does zero effort. I think Liza was a good host on Double Dare. But if you're Liza Koshy, you're sitting there, you're just going to be wearing a shirt and you're going to be throwing water balloons at people. And then you're going to go into an office building and go, well, that kid on the green team just got whacked and got 5 points. And that's all she had to do. It's more activity-based. So because of a world of YouTube and content creation and new cast of all that and all these Nick stars, you can easily bring those into a new Wild and Crazy Kids. A worldwide day of play, and you could even return to some of the same parks and play practically the same games. The only difference is you need to have a really cool graphic design team to have really cool exclamation point things. Also, COVID kind of did ruin an attempt at that, but hey, you know, like, now that everything's getting back together, you can make, like, Wild and Crazy Kids little masks, and you could, like, have shirts printed out, and you could just have people do really silly games, and I'm just wishing, just thoughtful wishes, that's all. So, I mean, Wild and Crazy Kids was a show that kind of was proof to me at an early age that a game show doesn't need to have a prize to be an entertaining show. It just needs to have an engaging game. And while there is no play-along, you can't really talk, you can't answer questions, you can watch and root for a color for some random reason and go, yay, blue team. Or you could make side bets. I bet it would not surprise me if there were drunk college kids in 1991 watching episodes of Wild and Crazy Kids and betting with their friends who wins. Hey, I think the green team's going to beat the orange team. You're on, Pody. You want to bet $5? Yeah, you got it. Something like that. But yeah, considering where we are now with content, where we are now with games, and Nickelodeon's marketing and their ability to really reach mass appeal, both on television and online, and have content and have celebrity, it kind of is surprising they have yet to reboot Wild and Crazy Kids a third time. I get it if they were going to do that this year and the pandemic made it bad, but even if there wasn't, it's 2020. The last reboot was like 20 years ago. 20 years ago. 2-0. And it's such a simplistic game. You don't even have to have a set of rules make sense. You could even have games that are really broken and say, oh, if you hit the wheelbarrow, that's 100 points and you win. It doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, these games really don't matter. There is no consequences for the loser. There is no real victory for the winner. It's all just to have a good time and have fun. So for something like a Wild and Crazy Kids to reboot with no prize and just have silly kids play like water balloon games or different challenges, it makes sense. At least it makes sense to me. I mean, I will probably argue and say every game show deserves to be rebooted, and here's why. Some game shows I've arguably argued saying they should and they really shouldn't. There's a whole lot of game shows that are being rebooted right now, and I'm kind of questioning and going, why? But with the case of something like Wild and Crazy Kids, it's one of those cases where it's not just should it, it's why hasn't it been done yet? Because this is the show that should be ringing on everyone's ears. Like, hey, this is your new reboot. This should be the show. Hey, check it out. This show, it could work. You know, reboot this show. You don't really have to do much. You just have to get kids into a field and throw cream pies at each other. That's okay. Because it to me, that is what Nickelodeon encapsulates. Like, modern-day Nickelodeon is Wild and Crazy Kids. In many forms, that is Nickelodeon's brand. A Nickelodeon game show these days, it's very... I feel like, and this is going to be like the Nickelodeon rant part when we're near the end of this show. Nickelodeon, I think people liked Nickelodeon back in the 90s because they was kids and they grew up with that Nickelodeon. And there's always this cult of personality, and I hate it on YouTube. I fucking hate it no matter how many times I see it. Those rant videos. The Cartoon Network sucks now. Nickelodeon sucks now. The Disney Channel sucks now. The Nickelodeon is not as good as it was when I was a kid. Where's Zoey 101? It basically is just kids upset because they've grown up and then they have to realize they're going to be grown-ups and adults and the world cannot cater to them anymore because they're not children. They're teenagers. They're adults and they can't cope with that. So instead of just learning to accept that these are programs meant for kids and kids might have a different taste than you, based on what we have seen, because as you know, things change over and over again. They can't come up with that, so it becomes an angry, upset, vengeful world at society. Because my childhood's ruined. Boo! Well, your childhood ruined when you turned 19 and had to pay taxes, genius. So it's one of those cases where I think Nickelodeon's newest thing, it's because Viacom CBS. 90s Nickelodeon, it was kind of like the MTV. It was MTV for children. They did not care. They had a shoestring budget. Put anything on there. Watch what happens. TV's TV, so people are going to watch and go, I can't believe this is on television, and continue watching because it's the Wild Wild West. That's why a lot of shows just looked like some dude with a camcorder just filming at a park. And in many ways, that kind of appeal was what set YouTube in the 2000s, in early 2010s, was that anybody with a webcam and a dream, as long as they can find a way to bandwidth and upload videos, they can be an internet celebrity in early days. And that's kind of where a lot of modern content creators are. They were like, when they were 19, 20 years old, they were making YouTube videos. And now they're in their 30s and they're still making YouTube videos. And they now have like a content creation, like, monopoly on stuff. And nowadays, you see different platforms like TikTok and Vine. And that's where the new kids are trying to carve their path and be the new celebrity on that. Because it's always a wild, wild west in one platform or another. And things are going to stick and see what works. And Nickelodeon in the 90s did that with things like Wild and Crazy Kids. And Double Dare. And Legends of Hidden Temple. But those were on shoestring budgets. Those were things where they were probably repurposing the slime for multiple tapings. And safety maybe was not the fullest of regards. But they did the best they could because these are kids. So in many ways, that's why I see in a few certain areas nowadays, certain YouTube channels, certain TV channels, when it's the, we don't give a fuck anymore, we'll put it on. That's when I'm excited. Something like a Viceland, something like a G4, where it's, we realize there's a hobby and people are excited. Let's just show it. For a while, their Speed Network did that. A lot of shows were just kind of like weird shows about people playing with their cars. It wasn't like anything specific. It wasn't like modding. It wasn't even like drifting. It was just like, yeah, I'm just going to drive my car around town. That's a show now. Okay. Those are kind of like the things I enjoy because it's nonfiction and it's real and it makes everybody feel like a celebrity in one form or another because they're showing off their passions and I feel like that's important. Nickelodeon did that in the 90s. It was creator focused, make your cartoon, we'll put it on, who cares, kids will watch it, just don't, you know, make everything too cruel and foul. We're trying to be the anti-Disney. But when it became Viacom CBS, the powerhouse it is now, it became, well, that's our kids' channel. MTV's our teen channel. And they just put them into focus groups and what is the most focus-based. What's the least, the path of least resistance that kids will find just fine. Because that's what normal television has become. Unfortunately, it is the most palatable shows delivered. You can't do anything too raunchy or too, you can't do anything too offensive. You have to do something a little too calming. We don't want to appeal, we want to appeal to as many people as possible. We don't want to do, so, you know, we could try a new sitcom, but SpongeBob just gets like 3 million viewers. So we're just going to just keep going with SpongeBob. I don't think the we can risk losing 2 million viewers for a sitcom with this one celebrity. So we're just going to... Sorry, we can't do the spinoff of Game Shakers. I'm sorry. Oh, you know, kids really love Rocket Power. We're going to try and reboot Rocket Power, but as a live-action show. But I don't... You know, maybe we'll just make that as a Paramount Plus thing instead of Nickelodeon proper. Actually, we'll just never do it. Never mind. You know, we heard that people really want to see a return of Hey Arnold, so we're just going to make a movie. I know kids that haven't seen Hey Arnold. That's a show that only like boomers in their late 20s watched. But, you know, maybe they'll enjoy it and we can spin it off. Oh, it didn't get the... Okay. SpongeBob rerun. You know what? And how about SpongeBob Babies and SpongeBob in Space? And how about we spin off of St. Cheeks and Patrick? And we'll just have Squidward's Day Off as a new movie. It's like it's going to be like a parody of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but it's with Squidward. And just go from there, because it's palatable. The kids love SpongeBob. We're just going to give them more SpongeBob. No, they do not want Loud House anymore. They want SpongeBob. No, they don't want Fairly Odd Parents. They want SpongeBob. No, they don't want Invader Zim. They want SpongeBob. Maybe you haven't heard it. They don't want Mighty Bee. They want SpongeBob. They don't care who Amy Poehler is. They want SpongeBob. And keep going from there. So Nickelodeon, they try all these new shows, and I'll admit, I watch them. And I enjoy a lot of those shows. I enjoyed All In with Cam Newton. They did a reboot of Nick News, and I love that Nick News special. They did the reboots of Double Dare, fantastic. They did a what was that show called? The Paradise Run. I love that show. They tried to do a Kids' Choice Awards. It's great. They did a reboot of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? It was fantastic. Like, they do all of these really smart ideas, and I watch them, and then it's like, but what if I missed that one taping? When's the repeat telecast? And it's only one more time, and it's in the mid-afternoon, and then never again. Because we're still doing 5 hours of SpongeBob. And I think that's what a lot of people complain about, is that Nickelodeon no longer is the, well, we're going to just do like at 5:30, it's this, and at 6 is a different show, and 6:30 it's a different show, and 7 o'clock a different show, and 7:30 a different show. Instead of just having those, like, new thing after a new thing after different, and just keep fast pacing, it's all like a big chunk of one show. Like an anchor tenant at a mall, and then maybe we'll put in a Dairy Queen, and that Dairy Queen is the reboot of Blue's Clues, because you were a kid growing up. Blue's Clues, we're just bringing it back. That's what Nickelodeon has become. In many ways, I get it. It's safe. It's harmless. If you're a parent, you're not going to complain. Double Dare's back, or this, or all of that's returned. Your kid won't get it because your kid has different tastes now. Maybe they watch racist YouTube Let's Play channels. Maybe they are big fans of Ninja. Maybe they just want to watch the Dude Perfect people and no one else. They don't care about anything else but Dude Perfect, and they want to buy the Nerf toys. The Nickelodeon has an uphill battle with YouTubers. So they're trying to do YouTube shows, but it's not really fully marketing that, because it's like the SpongeBob channel. Or here's a clip from Victorious from like 7 years ago. It's never really anything too exciting. And the thing is, I want Nickelodeon to succeed. I root for Nickelodeon over any kids' channel, because that was the channel I grew up with. I watched that in Cartoon Network. I was not really a Disney kid. And the reason I like Nickelodeon was because inclusive casting, positive messages. It's silly, it's goofy, it's fun for the whole family, but it's wacky. It's frantic. And Nickelodeon in the 90s, that is just pure 90s. 2000s, it was kind of the time, but it was kind of like the equivalent of like the fake iPods, and like, let's come up with our fake, like, it was all live action and sitcoms, so it was all like, let's come up with our fake Apple products. And because remember, Apple was a big thing in the 2000s, and social media, and like the MySpace. The kids love MySpace, right? In 2010s, it's all YouTube. And they just kind of missed a lot of the decade. They kind of missed the mark a lot. And they kind of relying on nostalgia from the 90s kids, because they assume 90s kids are now parents of today, so you can pass the torch along with these new formats. And most of the time, it's super glossy. It's not, like, as crappily produced as it was back in the 90s. It's too high tech. It's too high budget. They do retakes. I assure you, they do, like, 4 retakes of everything. It's too presenting. It's too YouTube in a way of, like, the, hey, guys, kind of hosting that I think deters people a lot. And Nickelodeon should always be counterculture. MTV should always be counterculture. And counterculture does not mean politically incorrect by any means. It needs to be do the opposite of what everyone else is doing. It should be the zag when everyone zigs. And that's a huge issue with Nickelodeon. Because Viacom will never do that. MTV does not zag when everyone zigs. MTV, when they had gay people in the 90s, it was a bit homophobic and they aired it, but they kind of made sure that gay person on Real World is noticed and you like them. Because you're going to see them and you're going to go, they're no different than me. I like you. Okay, I get it. Like, because that was kind of what MTV was. It's, we're pushing the envelope. We're going to talk about trans rights at a time when no one knows what trans rights even is. And they will fight for all inclusiveness in a world where everything is sort of a, is sort of in a world against you kind of world. And they were trying to speak to teens in MTV, and obviously, it went under because people would rather watch Bam Margera or they would watch Rob Dyrdek with Ow My Nuts shows. And Ow My Nuts shows sell more. Nick Cannon's Improv Comedy Hour will sell more. So we're not going to really bother with True Life or Real World or Road Rules even for that matter. Well, I mean, maybe we'll do a challenge. But we're not going to really talk about the characters and who they are, why they stood out on their respective seasons. We just care about game because game respects game. And that's all that matters. It's just a game. It's just a game show at the end of the day. We don't really care about like why this person was famous on the Real World. We just want to see them go on an obstacle course. It just becomes this like horrendous mess. Too glossy, even on MTV. And I like MTV. But it's not like a, where's the music, MTV? Because obviously there should be more music. But they try. They rebooted TRL with social media people. And I didn't like it that much. They try hard to make sure it works. And it, in many ways, you can say, well, that's because we live in a cordless environment. Gen X and Gen Z and millennials, they're cord cutters, so they don't really watch MTV, so it doesn't matter. But I would go on the, well, if you have a platform, you should use it in your media platform. So you better make sure your media is good wherever, because this is where the future is. If it's online, make sure content is available online and people will want to go. Make content that people want to see. And no one's figuring that out. And that's MTV. That's Nickelodeon. That's even VH1. It's all kind of glossy. All kind of metric. All kind of like, well, we're going to, if you're pitching a show, we're going to like run it through an algorithm. And we're going to see if it fits for MTV. Or if it fits VH1. And if it doesn't, we're going to just kill it off. It just becomes this weird thing. So for Nickelodeon, going back to Wild and Crazy Kids of Nickelodeon, this is the show that should fit that algorithm just fine. Because it's a zero budget show where it's just people playing whipped cream water balloon relay games and playing spin the baseball bat home run derby games. It's not like anything too forced, and you still have to do the really crappy YouTuber shit called open acting. Like, come on, Jimmy, you can't eat all those pies. You're right, I guess I gotta use them for the cream pie toss-up game. or the ending theme, like, oh, that was a fun day, guys, but who's going to finish all these pies? Oh, I'm full. You can eat them all yourself. Bye. Oh, no. Da-da-da-da-da. It just feels like it's a show that is made for a YouTube world. It feels like a show that's made for Nickelodeon of modern day. Because if you really think about it and put it in this perspective, Ridiculousness is just viral videos of people falling on their nuts and they wait at like 9 fucking hours a day on MTV. One Crazy Kids is just videos of people getting hit with cream pies or throwing water balloons or getting covered in slime in a field for 5 minutes out of a 30-minute block, and you can rerun those games 20 times because game shows do that these days. So what makes you not want to try and reboot Wild and Crazy Kids and film 100 episodes and put that into the ever-loving rotation of, like, 3 hours of Wild and Crazy Kids, kind of like Wild and Out? And it's like, well, there's something new because this is a different game, and then this is a different game, and then this is a different game, and this is a different game. And it just becomes this heavy rotation of challenges that people will watch, and it's just brainless because it's just people getting hit in the face with cream, people getting hit in the face with slime, people falling on a slip and slide, people on a giant inflatable moon bounce trying to catch, like, balloons, just regular balloons, nothing too silly. It's prime Nickelodeon of now that they have yet to try, and I'm still confused why. And that's kind of where my perspective is on Crazy Kids. Do I like Wild and Crazy Kids? Absolutely. It's such a great test market for game shows and challenges. It's such a real fun show to show kids having fun and just smiling and having a good time. And it feels like it's Nickelodeon's message of now, but it was back in 30 years. So to me, it's kind of shocking they have yet to try this. And not only have they not tried it, but they just ram it in the throats of all the kids. Because this is the show. Yes, Double Dare is fine. I love Double Dare. That's my favorite Nickelodeon game show. But if you notice, Double Dare was really the new one. Was not as crappy as, like, the early Philadelphia games when it was just like, hey, catch a ping pong ball with symbols. It became more over the top. There's wall graphics that say Dare and Double Dare. We have to have stingers and we have to have sound effects. It wasn't a, like, back in the Philadelphia era, Mark Summers was able to say and do a lot that went over the top of people's heads and kind of just ad lib. Hey, Harvey, what's up? Like, just because I just don't want to talk right now about this game. I'm having a rough day. Hey, Harvey, how was your day? Well, I'm doing great, Mark. They don't do that on the new Double Dare. There's no time for this. This is a production. No time for your bullshit, Liza. Read the fucking questions. Oh, you're Darren. Oh, you're taking a physical challenge? Yeah, you are. And then Mark has to say it. Like, it has to follow a formula. If it doesn't follow the formula, this whole fucking show's ruined. We're not fucking doing it. We're just gonna throw slime. We're not gonna throw chocolate syrup. We're not gonna do nacho cheese. We're not gonna do pink thing. We're not gonna do a yellow thing. We can't afford soda, so we're just gonna do ketchup bottles. We don't have the size of, like, the obstacle course, so we can't do gumdrop anymore. So we're just gonna do a Sunday slide with a really tinier slide. We're just going to have Mount St. Double Dare be kind of like the last obstacle. Hope people like it. I remember Mount St. Double Dare was like this. Unaware, they were thinking of different challenges. Yeah. It was such a clean Double Dare. It's hard to say. It's like an onomatopoeia, right? It's like an oxymoron. Like an oxymoron. A clean Double Dare. How does that work? How is a clean Double Dare? That show's all about mess. But Wild and Crazy Kids, it's all about mess. I don't know how you could possibly fuck up in Wild and Crazy Kids 2021, 2022. Because unless you're going to have, like, every contestant give a dramatic backstory and give away prizes, you can't fuck it up. unless you're going to have like confessional cam of like, I got hit with a pie. It was messy. I laughed when my teacher got covered with whipped cream. Ooh. And like that's the only way you could actually like screw it up. You really just have to show people catching water balloons and getting covered in water and having someone with a microphone in their fucking condo in LA go, oh no, that kid got covered in whipped cream and he's out of the game. But there's three people left on the blue team. Can they catch up? That's all they have to say. That's it. You can't do anything. It's so cheap. It's so low budget. It's so off the walls. It's so frantic. And you can come up with like 100 ideas and it would work. You could even do an over-the-top challenge. That's a show where it's welcome, most likely, if you can come up with like, we built a fake volcano and we're going to cover people with orange goo and they have to throw a beach ball into a volcano to win. They would welcome it. Because if you throw a budget at the show and it's just like, it still has the three games and it's frantic reproductions and like you can like make 100 episodes, go for it. You can do this. If you make blocks of this, people will be like, hey, did you see One Crazy Kid? I wanted to do the game. They would do it. They would try this out. This is a show that should be like on the air yesterday. And they're just not doing it. And I'm getting frustrated by that thought. I get frustrated by nostalgia, people. I'm getting frustrated at the thought about, like, why I'm so worked up about Wild and Crazy Kids, to be honest. Like, it's just a kids' game show at the end of the day. It has really no effect on me, because am I going to watch it? No, I'm not a kid anymore. Plus, there's like 1,000 game shows on the air now. I don't have time for this shit. The concentration's probably like being piloted right now as we speak. They're probably doing like a Weakest Link Juniors with kids. I don't know. But like, we need to figure out like what the future rests in television as a genre. And I think when people think 90s Nick, they just think of their favorite shows and they don't really think of what could work today. And Wild and Crazy Kids is the show that may not have really worked that well in the 90s. It only lasted 3 seasons. It really got, like, screwed over because it went over budget. Even though it wasn't really over budget in the early 2000s. But consider the reboot of Wild and Out being successful. Considering Ridiculousness still being on the air. Look at MTV. Look at what shows they're airing. And just seeing, hey, there is room for a weird game show on Nickelodeon with no prizes. Because the proof is in the pudding. Or should I say chocolate pudding in our chocolate pudding, pudding pie, pudding, 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 challenge pudding. We got kids to get spoons of chocolate pudding and they're going to have to throw it in the air and try to catch it on a Ritz cracker located in the mouth of their friend right there. Whoever does it first wins. This game is called Pudding on the Ritz. That's probably like a challenge they would try. And they'll just be like, oh no, flying tapioca. And kids will laugh because it's a kid's game show. It's a kid's game show with no prizes. It works. That's it. Wild and Crazy Kids. You could replicate that. You could even get the same kids to play multiple games if you're really lazy and low budget. You can have them like, hey, can you stay for a while? We're going to do like a spelling bee game with like Super Soakers. They would do it. You could have like a whole Nerf sponsored episode. Marketing. I'm throwing you a bone, Nick. I'm throwing you a bone. But that's going to do it for us tonight here on Game Shows, I suppose. I'm a worked up Jordan Haas saying go watch Wild and Crazy Kids if you can find access to it. Think about that modern day on YouTube or even as a 3-hour long block on Nickelodeon and get back to me. Until then, good night and big smooch. Mwah!